I was just telling one of my best friends that I actually love being the teacher's pet. And it's really true. Like, I love being the teacher's pet. Not because of the accolades or because I get the pat on the back or I get special treatment, but because I'm someone who really loves to be at the top of her game. I've really never been someone who's driven by competition. I'm not a big game player. I don't like competing with other people or playing games where I have to try to be the best out of a group of people. But I do love to compete with myself and be at the top of my own game. It's funny because in school, that really looked like me being the kid who read stories to the class in kindergarten. It was so funny because I was the only one at that age who knew how to read. And I came into class with my Laura Ingalls Wilder book, and I would sit and I would read this thick chapter book while other kids were learning, See Spot Run. And so when it came to be story time, they said, "Hey, do you want to read the stories?" And I would read the stories to the class instead. It was so fun. I loved it. It also looked like me realizing, what? I can get more than 100% in a class? Huh. And I started getting really curious about how high I could actually push it. My highest was 106, by the way, in a non-AP class, which means I did not get 10 bonus points towards that. I loved it. It was the coolest thing ever to me. It looked like in college writing essays in my psychology class that made my teachers email me and be like, wow, that was one of the best essays that I've ever read. I saved the screenshot of that one. But I do the same thing when it comes to magic, too. Like the moment I learn something, the first thing I want to know is, okay, how can I make it better? How can I optimize it? How can I make this more precise and more impactful? How can I get more consistent results? How can I get faster results? How can I take it up a notch? And so I'm also one of those people who really thrives on people telling me that something can't be done, or that the only way to fix something is through medication or through a medical procedure. I'm over here like, really? Okay, watch me. I take it as a personal challenge. And so, as I was in the process of really rising out of the depths of depression and self-injury and anxiety, I started finding my way back to magic, back to faith, back to connection. I started really finding my way back to that remembrance that, oh, you know what? There is magic in the world. There is magic in my body, and I can self-heal with the support of body, energy, and spirit. But I also knew and really yearned for the kind of growth that happens in community because we know that that is the best place to see bigger, deeper results. And so I would start looking for places to connect. The very first one I found was a little $22 group, and I absolutely loved it. It was something that really gave me this ability to reconnect with my magic and my intuition in a way that was so fun. And so I ended up being led to these groups where I would connect with women who were exploring stuff like intuition, like that one, or energy, or body, or whatever the case. And I found myself under the tutelage of these women who were like, I want to take you under my wing. I see something special in you, and I want to help you even more develop your intuition. I want to share some magic about energy work. I want to guide you on how you can create a business out of it, or how you can monetize it, or how you can create more impact. And I was so excited. But every time I would find myself starting to expand, a similar conversation would play out. I would hear, Angie, it seems like you're really becoming magnetic in my group, and I think that you should go find your own space. It would look like someone going, wow. Congratulations. I've never been able to do that. Maybe you need to go find another mentor. And it just kept happening over and over and over. And one by one, the sisters and mothers and teachers I found would see this brightness of my magic and they'd take me in. And then this moment it got brighter, they would push me away from it. And it was so baffling to me. Suddenly, this thing that was so beautiful became something that I had an inherent sense of shame around. I started really sharing less and less of my discoveries, less of my gifts, less of my magic that I was creating, and I kept it more and more to myself because that was the safest option. And it was the hardest thing that I ever did. But it was so important because in that remembering was where things started to change. And this is one of the transformations that I guide so many people through as they come to me in this space. So flash forward, I hop on a call with one of my mentors, and I really wanted to see, okay, how can I impact more people? I want to do more. I want to be more. And she said 6 words. Tell me 3 of your wins. And I was like, okay. And so I kind of like brush it off, you know, that kind of way that you minimize what you do and you're like, oh, well, you know, I just kind of did this thing. I did that. And I said, well, I mean, I had a woman come in who was experiencing blindness in one eye. I did a remote healing for her. She had this really big purge and the next day she could see again. So I did that. I had a woman come in whose doctors told her she needed a hysterectomy stat. Like they were calling her on the phone, like, you need to come schedule your hysterectomy. And she had 14-day long painful periods. She had painful ovulation. Both of those kept her like on the couch through the month. So she's spending like half of the month on the couch. And I worked on her and we worked together. And 6 weeks later, she was having painless 4-day periods. It was really cool. Let's see what else. I was like, I have also had 100% success rate helping women diagnosed with infertility have babies within 6 months. I said, it's like, you know, those are some of the bigger ones. And I will never forget the look on her face. And she stared back at me through the computer screen as she's like, why aren't you talking about these? But there were so many reasons. I'm like, because I'm scared, because, I mean, it's not really about me anyway. It's really, it's them and spirit moving through me. And, you know, well, I mean, because every time I talk about it, the people who I looked up to get mad or they get disappointed or they're upset that they're not where I am, or because. And there was just so much shame wrapped up in my magic, way more than I realized at the time. And in some moments, it disguised itself as humility. Sometimes it was anxiety and fear. Sometimes it was procrastination. But ultimately, what had happened was that I let the part of me that cares so deeply for people become weaponized against myself. And it demanded that I stay silent. And today, my practices on shifting shame have been some of my most loved and most used by my clients, and they've created some of the most potent results because they're the same ones that I used to break out of that first pigeonhole. But that was only the beginning, because unmasking shame and de-weaponizing my sense of care led me to, okay, I'm going to speak up anyway. But there was something even deeper, a wound that really had to be healed for me to go from, okay, I'm beginning to speak up about my magic, to being able to truly stand for it in a big enough way to steward in Soma. That's what I'm going to talk about next time.